Well, I have completed the 24 days of Jesus' names. If you're with us this morning, you haven't been for the last few weeks. We've been putting them up week by week as some of the titles of Jesus to remind us what Christmas is about. And it finishes with these five: Messiah, Son of Man, Christ, Saviour, and this morning, or yesterday morning, as it goes to 24, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Even his very name is all about what he's about. I didn't know whether I was doing this morning, but I thought if I was, I would just resurrect what we used to do years back, and that was think about Jesus being a gift from God. And I would get you to think about your gifts if you've opened them this morning. And in the past, we would ask, who's got the biggest gift? And we'd have a bit of a competition going on. And the smallest gift as well. And then there are those sort of gifts that you will use up quite quickly. Perhaps they will last a year. Calendar, diary, that sort of thing. Maybe only a few days if they are of the chocolate variety. But God gave us the gift of Jesus, a lasting, eternal gift, the greatest gift of all. And the Bible just simply describes him as the indescribable gift. And so whatever us preachers try and do in plucking out different words to describe him, we never quite get there. This is not the whole story. I mean, you can't tell the story of Jesus in 24 titles. It would take you for eternity, and indeed it will be for eternity, that we sing his praise for who he is. So I just want to echo that. Happy Christmas to you all. Trust you have a wonderful day. And think about Jesus. Think of the simple name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Make that personal for yourself. Make him your Saviour, your Messiah, the Christ, the Lord of your life.
Let's read something that you will have heard a number of times already. It's back in Luke chapter 2. I'll break in at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. A week ago here, you were invited to go to Bethlehem. Now, can I add the next phrase? And see. And I really wanted to ponder with you just a few moments. What are we looking at as we come to Christmas? We would proclaim as a church, as pastors, that the heart of the gospel begins here in this straw-filled manger in Bethlehem. And the most incredible thing that has ever come to the ears of man rings out from that very small, insignificant, lowly place. It's the news of how God has come to our world, and he's done it for one purpose and one purpose only, to involve himself with us. And in the darkness of the night, some shepherds stumbled upon another world. They didn't realize it at that moment. But something that was so radically different, strangely different from their everyday, workaday world of tending sheep. And it was awkward. Had they dreamed what was happening? These men were not Orthodox Jews. They were despised by the Orthodox Jew. They couldn't be ceremonially clean. They couldn't go into the temple. They couldn't serve in a jury or in a legal case. They couldn't do any of that. The very nature of their job, everybody looked down on them. And all the rules and regulations like washing and purification, they just couldn't do it. Now, if you understand that, then you must be absolutely amazed that these are the men who are confronted from something that's come from heaven. It beggars belief that these special announcements that came from heaven was given to them, the nobodies, the nothings of this kind of world of ours. So, was it a dream? Was it a fantasy? Was it something that they imagined? Or was it something more? Should they try and work out the conundrum of what's been happening to them? Should they just forget it? Or should they do something about it? Well, they chose to do something about it. And we explored this last Sunday morning. They went to Bethlehem. But I want to push this further, because they said, let us go and see. But what was there to see? How would they see? What would they be looking for? And here's my question to you. What is there for you to see in this familiar story of Christmas time? Well, I think one of the first things, it was a time for looking up, that they would see beyond the baby in the manger. And if you look beyond a baby in the manger, you have to, by looking up, you have to see that this has been one of the most dramatic interventions by God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is not an intrusion on the part of God. It's an invitation for folk like you and myself and the whole world around us to know that there is more to life than what many are experiencing, that there's more to it than reindeers and Santas, and there's more to it than gifts and celebrations. There's more to it than turkeys and all the other thousand and one things that's been caught up in Christmas. Christmas is a time, and you're sitting there with me this morning. I am so grateful because I'm encouraging you to look up and remember something. Heaven is our home. This world is not the end of everything. And like Abraham, you know, as he journeyed on, he's looking for a city, a place whose builder and maker was God. And God's plan is that we should share eternity with him. Look up. Look up. And realize there's a place that's specially nominated for, reserved for, dedicated for you to be your eternal home. And while you look up, quickly turn and look within. Because the splendor of the Christmas experience is personal when it locks into your heart and into your life. They hurried off, these shepherds. They found the baby. And they looked at what was there in the manger. Hey, they had been out in the fields raising lambs for the sacrifice in the temple. And lying in this manger is the Lamb of God. It's only a baby. No, no. It's the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. He's in a feeding trough. They would put wheat and stuff in it. Are you looking at a feeding trough? No. Look at the one who says he's the bread of life, who will sustain you, strengthen you, be with you, wherever you are, whatever it is that's happening to you in your life experience. And the splendor of this moment is they can see in a baby something going way, way, way beyond the moment into eternity itself. And sometimes you have got to stop at Christmas and do just that. Look within and kindle the flame of love so it'll burn even brighter. But there's more, because, yes, they had to look up, they had to look within, but they had to look around, because they had seen him, the baby. But they'd gone beyond that, and they spread the word about what they had been told, that this gift of God's love. And you know, Andrew just talked about gifts and God the giver. When Christ is nurtured in your heart and in your life, the very nature of God the giver kindles some fire in your heart and in your spirit, so you become a giver, because the giver is living inside of you. And we're living in a dreadful world. So many are lonely, and there's the homeless situation, and there's the crises, and people are stumbling in the dark, and they're living with delusion and the myths of Santa and the reindeer and all that, and they're missing. If they'd look around, we're proclaiming it week in and week out, there's a Savior that you need to know. But when you see, you not only look up, you not only look at yourself, and you not only look around, but tomorrow it'll be the 26th, and then the 31st, and we're looking ahead. A new year is just around the corner, and it's full of opportunities for folk like us to live. When the shepherds heard what they heard, they were amazed. We are in recovery. We're trying to capture again something of our direction as a church. We're going to go into a new year. Let Christmas make you look ahead and make a commitment of heart and of life to say, we'll walk through whatever the pandemic has produced. Do you remember the wise men? Herod was so angry, so thought a rival king was around, that he would destroy every child under the age of two. The wise men, the magi, were supposed to go back to him. But this is what the record of Scripture says. They went home another way. Can I tell you as the pastor? Look ahead. We'll be walking another way. Everything has changed except this. That the baby in the manger is God with us. So, have you done this morning? Looking back, you have to go to Bethlehem. You have to walk the path. You have to go down the road towards the inn. And men, we have to do what Joseph did. We have to knock at the door. And you got to go back and say, Mary, get back on your donkey. And feel, I don't know what to do. He hasn't made sense. An angel has ministered to him. He's been ready to divorce her because of the kind of ritual that they had, a betrothal. It doesn't make sense. But he stayed. He stayed. What am I looking ahead to? I'm looking at a generation of young men and women, boys and girls, and I look at absent fathers. Men who couldn't cope with what was happening to them, so they quit. But I tell you what, men, when you stay with Mary, when you stay, I can't explain all that's happening in our home. I can't, I don't know. Get back on your donkey. And then, wait a minute. Just run. You see it? Just, yeah. There's, it's a kind of barn, whatever you're going to call it. And you take Mary there, and then the waters break, and the baby is born. And you suddenly discover that God is here and is now and is with us. That the Lord of the universe, the mighty God, has come to earth to be with folk like you and folk like me. In the reckoning, we are a number. We don't count for much. If you ask the politicians, where's Rochford? Hardly one of them would be able to tell you where it is. But you know where it is. And I know where it is. And when January the 1st rolls on, I'll be here in Rochford. And so will you. And as we are looking ahead, then we can say, oh, come to us, abide with us, live in my heart, live in my life, bless me, bless my family, bless my friends, bless my church. Oh, do you know what I'm doing? I'm looking at Christmas. I'm looking at Christmas. And I realize its unique, its special message was for folk just like me and just like you. So they went. Oh, we followed them last week. They went to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem this morning and see. And see. Have another look at Christmas. Father, the familiar song dies away. Break through. Just like you did that first Christmas time, so we hear your voice and feel your touch on our lives. It's wonderful to know it's God with us. So we rejoice in everything and through everything. And our heart cry is simple, be born in us today. You've been faithful to us in the past, and we thank you for that. You constantly care about us, and we praise you for that. But in the days that are yet to come, our future and our tomorrow, we trust you. So may the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, lift the light of his countenance upon you, and grant you today and always to know his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a happy Christmas. Have a blessed day.